We're back. We had quite the interesting time, and I prepared a slideshow of slides, and we'll talk about what comes up. I tried to keep it short, only 150 slides, or 152, which compared to Greg Strand, that is pretty short. So, we were gone August 2nd through the 12th. On the 2nd, we got up really, really early, left. Curtis got us to the airport safely. Thank you. We had a 13 and a half hour flight and then another 4 hour.
Something would be, I said we got to the airport and there are no issues, which we were really grateful for. We had some bins that were oversized, and so we were worried about getting them on the plane, but there were zero issues in any airports through customs, so that was a big praise.
August 3rd, we finally made it there. That's the airport, the Kamuzu International Airport. Yeah, that's dinner the first night. Nasima, chicken, and relish. The white stuff on the left of each of those pictures is the Nasima. It really didn't taste like much. It is filling.
That's what you all raised money for right there. That's what they eat every single day, and they mix it with their vegetables, they eat it with their hands, and it doesn't taste like anything, but it definitely fills you up. That was our one and only experience. We had the opportunity to order it at every restaurant we went to, and this was the only time that any of us got it.
The people of Malawi say that if you don't eat sima every day, then you haven't eaten.
Sunday morning, we got up, we went to church, Flood Church. That's their worship time. Paintings on the wall.
That was the children's corner for during the service. So when you walked in the doors, there was this little corner. You can see that it's designated for the children. And then the rest of the congregation was like this way in the church. It was a big building. Do you think it's bigger than this sanctuary? A little bigger than this sanctuary. So it was like over here was like the children's area, and then all of this was the pews. I took this picture because I thought it was interesting, the wall with like the looked like a castle. I think this was like we stopped to get gas or something.
This is just a picture of the bags of corn maize that you all purchased for our food distribution. So you can buy all different sizes of this. I think I have a picture of a bag that's like, was it 50 kg, which is like 100 pounds-ish of corn maize. So we went to one of the grocery stores and bought 40 bags of this corn maize.
Oh. 40 10-kilogram bags. Fortunately, we did have a car, and we were not using a bicycle. They often use bicycles to move couches.
That one bicycle had sugarcane on it, which they peel the bark off of it and they just eat it. Sort of like a, I don't know, what do we eat here that's like a beef stick? Just sort of like that.
You can also get roasted mice on a stick for a snack. Also something that we didn't try when we were there. Monday morning, we went, so there are three different Tabitha centers, which are the places where they have the tailoring program. So Monday morning, we went to Community Impact in Kuwali, which is a neighborhood in the Longway. And we had a Bible study with the girls there, and we got to see them using the sewing machines. And so these are just some pictures of the sewing machines there in Kuwali. And then I got to go to the school, and this is the playground at the school, and I did some training with their teachers there. They have four teachers, and kind of Patience is kind of the principal. She's the director of the school, and so they have preschool through kindergarten. And so we did a little Bible study, and we just worked on some really, basic teaching things with them. So they were really grateful for that. And Keith and Steph got to go to the other Tabitha Center in Tumble Alley,
which was, what was it, about a half hour drive?
Sure.
That is at another school complex that is hosted by Pastor Mazziopa. There's the girls behind the sewing machines, the class, the man standing next to me, that's Pastor Mazziopa. August 5th, Monday, late afternoon, we did the UFA, the maize flour distribution. They had a time of worship before before we handed out the bags. The video that you saw last week was some of their singing. Joel gave the message. Joel's the man there in the black shirt, purple pants. He does a pretty good job preaching. And Vinny is translating. That's Hosea. He led the worship time. And if you notice in the background, the gate, anytime they're singing, we get curious children. Some pictures of us handing out the bags.
Do you have anything to say?
I was just amazed. I tried to hand them these bags to these ladies like that, and they didn't want them. They wanted them on their heads. Even like the elderly ladies, they were like, come here, and we just stacked them on their heads, two of them, and off they went. It was amazing. That's how they carry their babies, even when they're like 2 years old.
This is thanks to all of you as well. This is where your money from our Family Bible Week went to this food distribution. So it was really neat to be able to take that from the week before and then actually take it with us to Malawi and see it happening. Some of the educated people speak English. They speak Chichewa there, so we can say about three words in Chichewa: thank you, and friend, and I can say see you later. But that's about it. That's about all the Chichewa that we speak. But a lot of the interns and the people who work with Fred and Cindy there, they were translators for us. So it was really nice to have them there. They translated all the messages that were spoken. They translated for the children and when we did the children's ministry later in the week, so we were really thankful to have them there.
Mm-hmm. And the children love you also. Anywhere we went, anytime we showed up, all the kids came to greet us every day. This was a special service one of the interns, Vinny, got baptized. So it was really an honor to be there during that. They also had us speak there and tell our testimony. I think we told our testimony everywhere we went, pretty much.
Thank you.
These are the, which ones are those? These are the girls from the Tabitha Center right there in Kuali. They also got up and did some songs for us.
That's Vinny.
Yes, that's Vinny, and there he is getting baptized. This was more of Mary Beth's teacher training, and Keith and I went out into the community that's around the center and around the school and just talked to people and prayed with people. And that picture of me, I'm with a very young lady named Doris, and it was very nice to talk to her and pray with her.
These are just some pictures of the school. This is Wellspring Christian Academy, which is run by Community Impact right there in Kuali. It's just on the next street over from their Community Impact Center. So the teachers walk back and forth kind of through the neighborhood to the school. This is their academic room where the kids come in and learn at their academics. And then there was a Bible room where they do a Bible story. And then there was one like community room. I don't really have a picture of it, but they do like their morning meeting and all those things in there. So it was kind of humbling knowing like West Branch is about to undergo some renovations because our school is so old and falling apart. And to be here, it was just very humbling because in the grand scheme of things, we have a lot to teach with and a lot of resources. And they were very basic knowledge of teaching, because in Africa schools are much different. So they would be in a room with maybe 100 students and the teachers up front, and they're just shouting at the kids, and the kids have to write everything down and they're expected to remember it from that. So the idea of like a teacher interacting or creating lessons that are engaging is not usual for them. So they were really open to learning some new things about teaching and new strategies. And a couple of them have reached out to me already just asking for more resources and saying how wonderful it was for us to be there and to share, even Steph sharing what she knew about, you know, her specialist in behaviors with children was really helpful too.
Oh, there's Doris. This was another family the mother with the baby. She was Dinah, and her mother is in the blue, I think. Yeah, she's over on the end in the blue shirt. Her name was Lisbeth. Yes.
You're the one who's talking about the names. I'm glad.
And her little boy is Hakeem, and he has cerebral palsy. He was born with it, and we visited them and prayed for them, and we prayed for Hakeem. They would ask for prayer for him that he would do all of the things that a normal, almost 3-year-old would be able to do. He cannot sit on his own or stand or walk, talk, anything, but he was so sweet. And this was the girl in like the rainbow skirt, it's like purple and yellow and teal, that girl was Flora, and her mother is behind her against the wall. Her name was Edith. That was another family that we visited and prayed for, and she and her mother, Edith, asked us if we could support them by getting a sewing machine for Flora, who is a recent graduate of the Tabitha Center. And do you have
the email?
Yeah.
Yesterday, Fred emailed us about the sewing machine. He writes, "Thank you so much for your continued investment in prayer and changing lives here in Malawi. It is such a joy to welcome Keith, Steph, and Mary Beth on their recent mission trip to Malawi. They were a joy and an incredible blessing to all of us here. Thank you for your step of faith and devotion expressed by sending them to Malawi. We're so thankful for the financial gift that you sent with them to contribute to the changing the ministry as it happens throughout the Tabitha Centers and Wellspring Christian Academy. The team expressed an interest in purchasing a sewing machine for one of our Tabitha graduates, from the last term. What a kind and generous desire this is. After discussions with our Malawi leadership at Community Impact, they expressed that they felt that the best way to help the graduates to use their skills to provide for their families was to establish a professional center, a place where graduates can come and use sewing machines for making clothes for others, as opposed to just buying this girl a sewing machine. We currently don't have such an option for graduates. That goal would be once we have the space for the purpose and we have the funds raised for 5 sewing machines for that center. With your gift, we will be on our way to having the funds to purchase those machines. Thank you so much for your ongoing partnership. We are so thankful for all of you. We send our love and prayers to all of the church family at Lance Evangelical Free Church. In Christ, Fred and Cindy.
One of the reasons for that is that in their culture, if you do for one, you are expected to do for all. Because trust me, I would have been like, here's money, take it, please do what you need with it. But like I said, in their culture, if you do for one graduate, you must do for every graduate and then every graduate in the future. And when we did take it to Fred and Cindy, they said they would take it to Blessings, who is the one that also works with them. He is the African that works with them, in charge of community impact. And this is what Keith read is the result of their discussions that they had concerning that. This was the final family, and I cannot remember her name. I have it written down. Yeah, we were supposed to talk to her mother, but her mother was up the street at a funeral. So we talked to her, and that is her little business right there. She and her mother just sell fabric for bedding. A lot of the people and women in Malawi will have little shops set up or just their stuff right in front of them along the roads. Everywhere you go, there's markets and people selling whatever they can.
And she was at the distribution.
That was the nursery.
Yeah, this was a nursery greenhouse that we went to where we ate dinner one night. So this is dinner. And then just some of the scenery that we saw there. There weren't a lot of green spaces in the city itself, so being somewhere where there were trees and plants was kind of refreshing. This was on our way, so we did fortunately get to go down south in Malawi to Lwande National Park to do a safari, and this was on our trip down. So I was talking to my kids about the roads yesterday because there's like one paved road in Malawi, and there's no speed limit. And unless you come into a town, you have to watch for the tiny little speed limit sign. And you drive on the opposite side of the car on the opposite side of the road. And Cindy is a pro, but you can pass anytime you want to. So she would be going around these cars and zipping in and out, and then all of a sudden we'd have to hit the brakes because there's a pothole in the middle of the road. And so the young boys that live in the little villages along the road will fill the road with bricks. It's so kind of them. They fill the road with bricks or dirt or whatever they can, and then they wave a palm branch because they want you to stop and give them some kwacha because they did some work. So that was our trip down was long and interesting, but we stopped a couple places, and one of them was Dedza Pottery. So this is a man, his name is Henry, and he makes paper. So he has a really beautiful property there in town, and this is his paper hanging out to dry, but he'll go into the city and collect newspapers, and he makes it kind of like the Boy Scouts do, where you rip the paper into pieces and you soak it in water, and we have some paper products out there from him that we bought at his little shop. And then we went to the pottery, and they just had a lot of beautiful mugs and things that were all representations of Malawi, So it was neat. This is in the bathroom. I thought the sink was really cool. And this is just, you know, the scenery there. And it did change a lot from where we were in the long way. It was very dusty and dirty, and it was still dirty and dusty, but there was a lot more green space. There were different trees. And then we went to Kachiri Lodge, which is where we had our safari. So this was just an incredible opportunity for us to really experience God's creation. We've been to the zoo and we've seen the animals, but to see them in real life was just incredible.
Here, off in the distance, there is a lion. Mary Beth's camera has like a lens like this long. That was a Christmas present. Whoever got that, well done you, because she got some amazing pictures.
But also thank you to our tour guide, McLeod. He was amazing. And he's like, I'm not really allowed to do this, but we're going to do it anyway. And he went off the trail so we could see the lions. Oh, this was where Keith stayed. Mvu is a hippo. The next day. So we stayed at Kachiri. We got to do the road safari one day, and then the next day we got to do a boat safari, and McLeod took us on that too. So we went to this tiny little fishing village, I guess, and we got in these canoes, and we rowed out the canoe to this boat. And we sat on top, and we got to see some crocodiles, which are like the leading cause of death around the lake in Malawi, and hippos. Tons of baboons. A baboon at dinner came up and stole the toast right off Cindy's plate, and so the workers like take slingshots and shoot rocks at them because they don't want them in your food. This was a fisherman, and they were just out throwing their nets into the lake, so we kind of made us think of Jesus, because this is probably how he and the disciples would have done their fishing. And there's McLeod. He was our tour guide. Fred and Cindy said that that was one of the better safaris that they'd been on, that we got to see a lot of animals, so we were really thankful for that. That's the baobab tree there in southern Malawi. They look like an upside-down tree almost, like the roots are at the top. Mm-hmm. And if you look in the tire swing, there's a baboon. Yeah.
Were you able to lead the people of Jesus Christ while you were there?
I hope so.
most of the population is already Christian.
Yeah, in some form or another, most of them already go to some kind of church.
After the boat safari, we had another road trip. I told Fred and Cindy before we ever went that I love kayaking, so they kind of gave us a choice, go on safari or go to the lake. I told them I love kayaking. If you take me to the lake, I'm not going to want to leave. Well, apparently they didn't want me to leave because we went to the lake, which is absolutely beautiful.
Yes, and they do have a restaurant there that overlooks the lake. It looks like the ocean, just without the sea salt smell. And monkeys there too. Yes, they were.
The lake, crocodiles like murky water. The lake is relatively clear, so they're very few.
So the baboons were also here, and there was one above us. There was like a tarp sort of thing, and he was peeking down at Cindy's plate trying to look for food. It was twice in the same day, so that time the baboon did not get her food, but it was funny because it was twice in the same day.
guy in a pink boat.
This was the refugee camp in Zaleka, and this is where our first round of sewing machines went to. And this is the first Tabitha Center that they opened. So we went there and we met all of the people there, and Pastor Desire gave a very nice message thanking the church and thanking.
I'm gonna play that later.
Oh, okay. He's going to play that later. But it was just very humbling and just amazing to be there and to see the sewing machines that we sent the money over for. Do you want to say anything else about that? Oh, these are the irons that they use to iron their fabrics. So they use charcoal and put them in that iron and like hot charcoal, and that's how they iron their fabrics because there is no electricity in that building. That is the Bible. Bibles that they use. It's in the Chichewa language.
That's actually Swahili.
Oh, that one was Swahili. Sorry. There were Chichewa Bibles. That was just us outside of that first Tabitha Center with the students that are there. Yep. Yes. They use their feet, the pedals. These are photos of the refugee camp that Tabitha Center is there on.
The refugee camp was very humbling. These people are coming to this place. There are about 55,000 refugees who live in Zaleka. And they're coming from countries around Malawi because their life there was horrible. And this doesn't look like a life that I want to live. And it was very humbling to see and to hear their stories. When they come here, sorry, this is the part that just like totally crushed me. When they come here, they get a piece of metal and a plot of land, and they're responsible for building their own shelter out of whatever materials they can find there. And because they're not Malawian citizens, they're not allowed to work outside of the camp. So everything that they have and eat and do in the camp is just what they can kind of scrounge from what they can make or grow if they're lucky enough to have a space, which most of them aren't. But it was very humbling. I talked to a teacher, and he was a refugee from Congo, and he'd been there for 7 years. He's the one in the blue shirt that's walking beside me there. And he left his village because his father was killed, and he and his mother had to flee their village because of the rebels that were coming in. And I know that his story is not just his. It's just everybody that's there. Their life here is so much better than what they came from. And our Tabitha Center there is giving these people an opportunity to at least have a skill that they can use outside of the Tabitha Center to maybe make something better for their families. But a lot of them are just waiting. They're waiting to get out. They're waiting for another country to accept them as, you know, a citizen. So Pastor Desire, who runs this church, I think it's the Integrity Family Bible Church, he's been there for 14 years. So he started the church and he started a school. And of course, they can't educate everybody, but John Mark has 50 students. He teaches fifth grade too. Well, it's not technically fifth grade, it's like year five or something, but about the same age students. And in his tiny little classroom, he has about 50 students that he teaches English, math, science, and social studies, life skills. And he's like, I wish I could teach more, but there's just not space for them. So this experience was probably the most humbling to me. We didn't spend a ton of time there. It was a very short visit, but it was definitely the part of the trip that left the most impact on me.
This was the children's outreach that we did on Friday. We had how many? We had 50 children there. We started with some singing, and there were, how many stations were there? Three, four?
Well, each of you had a station, so at least three.
Yeah, there were, there might have been four, so four stations that the children rotated through. And so I had the Jonah story, and we made little fish out of pipe cleaners and beads. They were this big. but the children had fun. Mary Beth had the parable of the lost sheep, where the children also, they made crosses. And Keith had Play-Doh.
I got to play with Play-Doh, because that's what they trusted me with.
but I think he was doing the letters of their names with the Play-Doh. And before that, there was singing, and it was just so joyful to watch all these children just singing, singing songs of worship and just really getting into it and clapping and dancing. It was just so amazing. And then at the end, Keith handed them all candy, and then they all knew his name the next day.
Before I went, I Googled what candies are hard to find in Malawi, and apparently Swedish fish. So each kid got some Swedish fish or some Sour Patch Kids. And a lot of them looked like that.
This was Saturday, so we had a very full, busy week. Keith spoke with the young men of the Barnabas Center, and Mary Beth and I talked to the girls of the netball, which I'm not sure exactly what netball is. I think it's like basketball, but without the net. It's just a hoop, on a pole. I'm not sure exactly. We didn't get to watch them. We wanted to, but the boys were over there, taking up the space. But Mary Beth and I just talked to the girls, and we prayed with the girls. We asked them each their favorite Bible verse, and we asked them each what was one thing that we could pray for them. A lot of them said long life, and I don't remember. I don't have all my notes. Oh, and protection from diseases over there. So this was the market that we went to get the chitenge fabric. That's the ones that you see hanging on the wall. And this was...
traffic.
Okay. Was that when we were parking?
I think we were just driving.
Oh, okay. This is just driving along the streets, but you can see the people that are all set up on either side selling anything and everything.
So they will buy bales of things that Goodwill has taken out of whatever they have and shipped over. And so a person will buy a bale of our kind of leftover things. And you can see on this street, this is a whole row of just blankets and quilts and sleeping bags. And people come here to buy something new, and it's really just things that America has gotten rid of, and it really kind of put into perspective the overconsumption in the United States of just all of the things that we have that we so easily discard that are brand new to some of those families.
So those are the fabrics you can see that we're wearing today that they use for their wraparound skirts. The women and the girls all wear them basically everywhere. And this is Matilda, who was the house help of Fred and Cindy. So she comes in 3 days a week, and she does the dishes and mops the floors. And I don't know what else she does, because she's amazing. But she took our measurements, mine and Keith's, and made this dress and his shirt in one day. And this was Maya, who's at the Tabitha Center in Kowali, and she's also one of the teachers, and she made Mary Beth's dress that she has on today. And this was, so we got to go to church twice, actually, when we were there. So we went back to the same church, and then on Sunday, then we headed home, and there was a neat sign at the airport that says, "Leaving my heart in Malawi," and I think that we all did leave some of our hearts there in Malawi.
Someone asked me to bring home a monkey, and this sign applies to that. Don't take critters home with you. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm going to talk some more. Sorry. As I think back on our time in Malawi, a few words come to mind for me. Flexibility, humility, and faithfulness. Flexibility because some of our plans changed on a dime. Before we even left, Fred and Cindy had asked about adding that children's program or children's outreach to our already full week, and we said yes, obviously, because we love children here. And then the one day, as you guys got to see, Keith and I went around the village to talk to just people instead of going with Mary Beth, which is what I thought was happening. And we just got to sit and talk with them and pray with them and pray for them. Then at one point, this didn't come up in our pictures, during our safari, during the Jeep safari, the Jeep would not start. But it was no problem. The men got out and helped push the Jeep until it started, and away we went. Sometimes it took a little while to get where we wanted to go because we had to go to a roundabout and go back the way we came in order to make a certain turn. Because I guess it's set up like Britain, Great Britain, where you go and you turn around the roundabout and you come back and then you make the turn. Humility is usually a given reminder for me because of living here in America. The things that I worry about or complain about are absolutely nothing compared to the actual problems of other people in this world. But also the humility that comes from serving other people, even the children there. And faithfulness, because there are people with greater faith than mine doing the Lord's work. And the faithfulness of the people of Malawi in general. Even the children have so much faith in God. It was pure joy to watch adults and children sing so freely to the Lord and open up to Him. So thank you for sending us, and please pray for community impact and the Tabitha Centers, that they may be a blessing to the people of Malawi. And please pray for the school there. That school, like Mary Beth said, is changing the face of education in that village. Thank you.
I just wanted to start by saying thank you for sending me, for trusting me to go to Malawi and work with Fred and Cindy. It was a very humbling experience, and we were really fortunate to see all of the things that they do over there with their time. They're there every day living this, and we were just visitors for a short amount of time. So it kind of felt like we were outsiders at some times because they're so invested in what they do. So thank you for sending me. It's easy to say that we see it and we've read about it and we've watched it on the news, but until you're there and you actually see it for yourself, you can't really begin to describe it. For a lot of the time there, we were the minority, which is not very common here in the United States, and it was uncomfortable. We didn't understand the language, we didn't understand the culture, and a lot of the situations were really hard and hard to understand where the people were coming from, and we really don't understand the poverty either. But we spent a lot of time in worship, and I was reminded of a quote that I read once, and it said, "I cry a lot during worship, and sometimes I tell myself I need to get it together. But now I know I don't ever want to lose that feeling. I don't want to become numb to the awesomeness of our God and his love for someone like me. God wrecks me over and over, and I'm okay with that. And that's kind of what happened on this trip, is that he really just wrecked me over and over again. From the time that we left the airport, just driving down the road and seeing the extreme poverty of the people. And just, it's not poverty to them, it's just a Tuesday. So that was very humbling. And a lot of times during their worship, I was just stood there in tears because they're worshiping in Chichewa and their arms are up and they're clapping and they're singing, and it was just really moving and emotional. And I was just humbled by their incredible faith despite a lot of their situations. If it's possible to be absolutely heartbroken and also spiritually encouraged at the same time, this was that opportunity. Cindy said that the real heroes in missions are those who come and see and return home to champion the vision. I'm by no means a hero, but I am forever invested in the missions behind what's being done in Malawi. It was an incredible experience, and I'm just very grateful. So thank you for supporting missions. Thank you for your support of Fred and Cindy. Now that we've been there, it's easy to see the need there and the impact that they're making, even with the small amount that they're doing. So thank you very much.
While we were in Africa, we all knew that we would have to share our experiences when we got back. I had joked with Mary Beth and Steph, and I was wondering if we'd have the whole sermon time to share all of our experiences, because there was a lot, as you saw. Well, I offer you a word of caution about what you joke about, because this became a reality Monday when Pastor Matt asked me if I would share the word with you. And as an elder who is to be able to preach, as it says in 1 Timothy, I agreed that I would. I ask that you bear with me because, as we say in corrections, I'm just a dumb jail cop. But I'm attempting to do the works that God has prepared in advance for me to do. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for all that you are, that you are here with us, that you were there when we were in Malawi, that you are mindful of us wherever we are, even on the other side of the world, Lord. I thank you for the people of Malawi, for the work that we did over there with community impact, for Fred and Cindy's heart of service to the people of Kawale, Tambalale, and the Desleke refugee camp. Thank you for all of those involved in those ministries, the teachers, the coordinators, the interns, Lord. You know all of them. Bless all of them. Thank you that they can change lives in Malawi. I ask you to give me the confidence to preach your word, the strength to keep my composure, Lord, because I have been broken in ways that only those who have seen it with their own eyes can understand. Use me if you can, Lord, to bring the word that you would want me, that you want spoken here today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Malawi is one of the poorest countries in the world. The World Bank rates it in the top 10. And the country is predominantly Christian. 79% Christian, 14% Islam, 5.9% traditional faiths. But it is a mixing pot of beliefs. There are churches and humanitarian aid groups from all over the world in the country, each vying to influence the minds and beliefs of the young population of the country. Some traditional belief is overlooked because it is traditional rather than being viewed as the pagan practice that it is. And while it was interesting to watch, I kind of wonder at the heart of the dancer in his furry blagging things and mask that I wonder how he viewed what he was doing. The Jehovah Witnesses have numerous compounds, proudly displaying the blue and white signs, JW.org. And I'd hear the distant Allahu Akbar from the closest mosque in the mornings. The Chinese are at work in the country building shopping plazas and housing and working to influence the people to a communist mindset. China is also building a bigger embassy. So, of course, the United States is building an even bigger one. Malawi is a battleground of ideas. Ideas of governance, ideas of religion, ideas of the best ways to help the poor. Given that, I did not find it surprising at all that Malawians view life the way that they do. That is, that life is something that happens to you, rather than being an active participant in it. A young man who showed up for the meeting I had with the Barnabas and Beyond Sports groups explained that your parents, well, if you're not working, your parents may find a job for you. And it may not be what you had in mind. Your own plans may get canceled because the need for work is so great. This young man has yet to start at the Barnabas Center. This was only the second event that he's ever shown up to. And he opened up and shared right away. Everything that can be a job over there is. Gas stations are full service. Grocery stores have baggage handlers. How many of you remember those? When we'd pull up to the intersection in town, someone would come up to the windows and try to sell us bananas or strawberries. We were thankful that it wasn't the mice on the sticks, the mouse kebabs. The country is in need of work. Work on infrastructure, work on fighting corruption. And the people are in need of work, jobs, income. About a week before I left for Malawi, I read over the first two chapters of Ephesians, seemingly on a whim. I'm not so sure that's what it was now. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." For we are God's handiworks. We, all of us, Lance, Kylertown, Morsdale, Munson, Malawi, and even the far-flung regions of Pinchatuli. We are all his handiwork. We're all created in his image, his handiwork, his workmanship, in Greek, poema, where we get the word poem. We are a work of art, and he created us for a purpose. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. God has prepared work for us to do. Not for us to witness done, not for us to have done to us, as the people of Malawi view it. Work for the kingdom of God for each of us to do. Now, God is not calling each and every one of us to go to Africa, and I don't know how God, what work he has planned for you. For some of us, it may be as simple as giving a little extra, preparing a meal for a family who's in the midst of a hardship, or maybe just asking your neighbor, "How are you doing?" Waiting for a response and then asking, "No, seriously, how are you doing?" To get to the heart of the issue and then listening. What work is God calling you to do? I guarantee you he has something that will fit your unique talents and personality, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, this will take more unpacking than I have time for. But I will say that God already knows the situations that we will find ourselves in. He even knows if we will do the work that is prepared. But that doesn't change our own free will response of doing it. Additionally, I should comment on that if we don't do the work, In Esther 4:14, Mordecai tells Esther, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this?" Mordecai was certain that God would deliver his people, but from when and where? You may find the situation you are on, or you may find the situation that you are in is to help others who are experiencing similar hardships. It may be many years down the road after you yourself work through it. God will see his plan done. How great would it be to do that work and hear when we finally meet face to face? "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Now, some of the work, one of the jobs that he has for us can be found in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, the Great Commission. "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Then they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Jesus told his disciples to go and make disciples of all the nations. But what is a disciple? Well, in the ancient world, disciples imitated both the life and the teachings of the master. Life and teaching. It is no different today. We are called to imitate the life and teachings of Jesus. Community Impact Malawi is first and foremost a disciple-making program. The Wellspring Christian Academy, the Tabitha Centers, Beyond Sports, the Girls Netball Team, the Barnabas Center for Vocational Training, the Transformational Leader Course. All of these are a disciple-making program. They all begin their meetings with time spent in the Bible. The first part of their time is given to God. Does God have the first part in your life? Or does God get crowded out by our busy American schedules, our rushing to get the kids off to whatever, our hurry to make it to the meeting on time? I had mentioned before that American culture is very monochronic. We view time as a resource. Time is money. Some of you are probably thinking that as I'm up here talking. In Malawi, we were on Malawi time, as Cindy often put it. When we would pull up to a police roadblock, the officer sitting next to the building, we'd pull up to a complete stop, and then he'd reach over, get his hat, and put it on. And then he would stand up and walk over and move the cones so we could pass. I had previously mentioned that I was hoping that the Kresmans would pick us up at the airport as opposed to one of the locals. They did. I count that as a blessing. But in the African view of time, it is acceptable to be late because your mother stopped by. Or a friend needed a hand. They make time for people. How often do we do that? I admit in my own life I don't do it enough. Jesus called us to make disciples of people, all the nations. The easiest nation for us to reach is our own. Who can you make time for this coming week? Who haven't you seen in a while? Who needs a word of encouragement, a helping hand, and to hear the truth of the gospel message? God has work for you to do. Don't ignore him. And don't do it because you think it will save you or get you into heaven. The previous verses of Ephesians 2 clearly refute that. Now, we do his work because we love him, because he loved us first. We are called to be disciples in thought and deed, and then make disciples. Community Impact is making disciples in Malawi. They are transforming Malawi one life at a time. What I hadn't expected is for Community Impact to be transforming Kylertown one life at a time. In recognition of this church's previous work, your previous giving from 2 years ago, I've come home with a message from Pastor Desire Ferrani of the Integrity Family Bible Church. He's also the director of, one of the directors of Community Impact in the Deslaka Refugee Camp, and the coordinator for the Tabitha Center there, the very one that we helped start. You play the video.
We only want to address our gratitude. And we are praying that you should convey our gratitude to the U.S.
Church
in Pennsylvania. This was at first an idea.
Lakini kama kanisa haya toaka hizi machine mawazo yangu lakilia tu mawazo.
But if the church couldn't supply or couldn't contribute, the idea would stay an idea.
Lakini benyewa ni tosha ya mawazo kukua reality hizi tuko nayo leo ni kanisa kwenye matokea.
So the church where you come from is the church that puts this thing to be a reality.
Mufikishe shukrani zetu.
So we send you to express our gratitude on our behalf. Tell them that we are praying so that God can keep them safe. And may God increase His blessings upon all the church. We still have a very big vision. Because this is one of the Tabitha Center that we are thinking to have here in Zaleka Refugee Camp. The situation is a little bit complicated. To find a space where we can add other vocational training centers. So that's why we had another idea.
Yapata kiwanja chetu sawa Community Impact
to find a space for Community Impact.
Na pale tunajenga hapo center ya Community Impact
where we can build a center for Community Impact.
Kwenye tutakuwa tunafanya hii kazi ya kushona. Kutakuwa hii center ya kushona. Kutakuwa hii program ya kushona.
The center that would host the tailoring program.
Kisha kutakuwa mechanic. Kutakuwa menuiserie.
Carpentry.
Na zingine kazi mbalimbali agriculture nayo tutaifundisha pale.
Other different type of trainings including agriculture.
Juu batu bengi bapate zile skills na zianze basaidia kuishi hapa.
So that many people may benefit in those vocation trainings to find a living through those skills.
Unajua kama nafasi yote maisha iko ngumu.
I know everywhere the life is not easy.
Lakini kama ile moyo yenye ba Kristo batumishi ya kanisa kwenye mnatokea balikuwa nayo kwa kuanzisha hii kazi.
But the the good heart that you had at first. The good heart that you had, the good heart or the heart of God that you had at first when we started this vocation training center. We pray that you may continue in holding hands of Pastor Fred and Cindy in this ministry that they are doing. So that we may reach our goals that we have. So these people is only a channel that God has set in place to help you to reach the people who are here. If you can continue in doing so, that would be very well.
Hatuombake mingi sana.
We do not pray, we do not ask that much. But we ask that if anyone can do according to how the Holy Spirit will speak to his heart. But this is the work of God that you are doing. And I encourage you to keep moving on. We convey our gratitude to the church. And tell them that we love them and thank you. And we thank the church for sending you to come to see us. And also we send our gratitude to your families. You all have families. You are married and he is also married. So you have left your families, your kids. So we also thank your husbands and also your wife and your children for allowing you to come here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, team, for going for us and expressing our love to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's sing about that. Hymn number 284 in your hymnal.